Welcome to Maseches Yevamos, Perek Tes, Mishnah Gimel, Chapter 9, Mishnah 3. The Mishnah continues with its summary of many of the halachas that were discussed in the previous parak, in the previous chapters. The Mishnah begins, Shniyos Medivrei Sofer. Women that are prohibited are called Shniyos Larais, or secondary prohibited relatives, which are only rabbinically prohibited. For example, a person's grandmother, his mother's mother, his father's mother, etc., etc., which we saw delineated in the first parak in Yevamos. Those are all rabbinically prohibited, says the Mishnah, Shnia Labav v'lo Shnia Liyavam. Let's say a fellow is married to his mother's mother. So she's prohibited to be married to him. And then he dies and falls to his brother, and his brother is a brother from the father and not the mother, so he's not related whatsoever to this fellow's prohibited wife. Says the Mishnah, Asur Labav l'muteres Liyavam. In that situation, she's really prohibited from staying married to her husband, but she would be permitted, in theory, to marry the Yavam, her husband's brother, since he's not related. Says the Mishnah the other way around, Shniel Yavam v'lo Shniel Labal, or a situation where she is a secondary, a prohibited, rabbinically prohibited relative to the Yavam, to her husband's brother, but not to her husband. In that situation, Asur Yavam, she's prohibited to the Yavam, to her husband's brother, Umuteris Labal, but she's permitted to her husband. Shniel Lazeh v'lo Zeh. Somebody who is prohibited both to her husband and to her husband's brother, asur lazeh v'lazeh. So then she's prohibited, A, to stay married to her husband, and B, if her husband dies, she is prohibited to do yibum. Now the Mishnah concludes and says, if a person violates the rabbinic prohibition and marries one of these women, so a person marries his mother's mother, or if a person marries the daughter of his son, so his granddaughter, says the Mishnah, ein la, this wife does not get loikasuba. He doesn't have to pay her the actual money that one obligates themselves usually in the ksuba. One obligates it to pay a certain amount of money in case the marriage terminates. He does not have to pay them because they shouldn't have been married in the first place. Additionally, says the Mishnah v'lo peiros. He doesn't have to pay peiros, the byproduct or the fruit. So there's a disagreement exactly what this means. We'll just give one understanding, which is that the husband doesn't have to redeem his wife, let's say she's taken captive, even though usually the husband is able to eat the peiros, he's able to eat the byproduct of her nichsei melug of the property that she brings into the marriage. He's permitted to eat that. And the exchange for that is that if, let's say, the woman were to be taken captive, he has an obligation to liberate her, he has to pay money to liberate her. Nevertheless, the halacha is that since they should never have been married and he has no obligation to liberate her, yet he still is able to eat the peiros, he still is able to eat the fruit, the byproduct of the properties that she brings in. Similarly, if you have a couple that are married in a rabbinically prohibited marriage, he does not have to give her mezainas, he does not have to support her both during his lifetime or after he dies. The husband does not have to pay. Let's say the husband uses the nichsei melug, he uses this property, and some of it gets worn out. He doesn't have to pay her that money, which usually he would have to. Again, this is a knas chacham, it's a rabbinical penalty that they should not have been married in the first place. However, says the Mishnah, the havalat kosher. Let's say you have a couple that's married and they're shniyos, they're rabbinically prohibited because they're secondary prohibited relatives. The child is kosher, he could even marry a kohen. The kofin are lahaitzi. Nevertheless, we force him. The Jewish court forces him. We coerce him to divorce his wife. Continues the Mishnah, amana l'kohen gadol. However, if let's say you have an amana, a widow that marries a kohen gadol, a high priest, which is biblically prohibited, it's also midaraisa. Or Gusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedrit, you have a divorced woman or a woman who had chalitza and she's married to a kohen hedrit. Yet again, that's a rabbinical prohibition. I'm sorry, a biblical prohibition. Or mamzeres u'nesina l'Yisrael. Let's say you have a mamzeres, a illegitimate person, or a nesina, this nation of the Givonim, which we've talked about many times. Or bas Yisrael nasan l'mamzer, or a Jewish girl that marries a nasan or a mamzer. Yesh la k'suba. In all these situations, they do get a k'suba. What's the difference? So the Gemara says like this. When it comes to rabbinic prohibitions, if one marries a woman that's only rabbinically prohibited, so the rabbis made chizuk l'divrayim, they strengthened their words, and therefore they made all kinds of penalties to make sure that people don't make an allowance and say, oh, it's only rabbinically prohibited. However, in a situation where it's biblically prohibited, like a kohen gadol marries an almana, a high priest marries a widow, or something like that, in that situation, people are anyways probably not going to do it because they know that it's asa midaraisa, it's biblically prohibited. Therefore, the rabbanon didn't enact all these different types of penalties. Wishing you an excellent day and a wonderful upcoming Shabbos.